Now, live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
And I know Big Hen's still around here in town. Got any sacks left in him? What do you think?
I don't know.
Could he be a mid-season call-up?
Can he give us 15 good snaps?
That's all we need. 15 a game, 15 good snaps. 10 good ones and 5 mediocre ones I'd probably take at this point.
I know we see Fred Taylor every weekend and talk to him, and he's like, yeah, I think I could give him 10. I think I got 10 good reps in me a week, but that's about it.
Right, right. And, they probably all think they can for a while. And, look, I'm not going to doubt a guy like Fred. He might be able to go out there and give you 10, but way past that point, Ryan. They are locked in with the 53. What were the biggest surprises for you?
I don't know if we qualify them as surprises. I had a couple is – I was told the whole way that you look at the running backs, tight ends, receivers, is going to be a combined 14 guys. A little surprised they went with 4 tight ends considering one is hurt. So that's 3 healthy tight ends, and they used so many 2 and 3 sets during the preseason. That was a surprise. I'm still surprised you go 5 tailbacks. That Bernard Pierce made the team.
See, I felt that way too once Corey Grant made it.
Yeah, but I thought it was going to be an either or the whole way. If Corey won the kick return job, he would get a roster spot, and they'd move on from Pierce to keep an extra tight end. So that one of the more interesting part was the roster mechanics, how the numbers added up. But on defense, really the only guy that I didn't have under consideration throughout camp was Latula.
Jeremiah George, is that who you had on there? Yeah. So, hey, look, the bottom line is hopefully – the bottom 5 guys on the roster now should not be as significant. All these guys can be significant. They can all play roles, the whole next man up thing. But let's hope they're getting to the point where their top-end talent can carry them beyond the shuffling at the bottom of the roster.
And now that I'm looking back on it, I was surprised that Nick Marshall's on the roster because, with my untrained eye, he didn't do a ton of things during those first 3 preseason games where a lot of those decisions are made. I probably would have thought he would have cleared waivers, but obviously they feel he can provide something on special teams, and he's probably going to be active because everybody else is hurt.
Yeah, well, and I think that they probably ideally wouldn't like him to see very much playing time, but I think Tony probably came down to they were not willing to take that chance that he wouldn't clear waivers, right?
I mean,
I think ideally they probably would have him on the practice squad right now, but I think that athleticism was something that was too appealing to them to let go.
Yeah, and I know Gus Bradley talking last Thursday as the cuts were about to be made, talking last week to Jeff Loggeman, talked about the ball skills of a guy like Nick Marshall,
right.
Thinks they may be the best in the entire secondary. We talk about why is Corey Grant on this team? Because it's hard to cut guys that can run the way that Corey Grant can run. Why would it be tough to cut a guy like Nick Marshall? He may be a guy that you feel like, maybe not this season, but at some point in the near future, is going to be a guy that when the ball hits his hands, they're going to take advantage of that. And that's not something Jacksonville has done well in the last 2 years.
Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. We have buried the lead. O'Halloran's on FanDuel. He's playing with us, so you can take his money directly at FanDuel.com/Mike. Or maybe he's going to take all of ours and laugh all the way to the bank. I don't think it's enough to retire on, but it's a nice little spending money in your pocket if you win each week.
No, that's the thing. Like you gave me a very solid sell. What I didn't know about was the salary cap. So
you just thought you were just going to pick anybody.
I just picked the whole Green Bay Packers starting offense on like $7,400 off the cap.
Oops.
I'm going to have to start slicing now.
Maybe save some money on your kicker or defense
somewhere along the line. But that appears to be, obviously, that's the challenge of building a team every week.
That is the challenge, right. You can have anybody, but within reason. You got to fit them in your salary cap, much like the National Football League. Today, I kind of previewed it for you. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealers. Is twofold. We want you to predict the Jaguars' record. Just give us the number, whether it's 9-7, whatever you think it is. And in addition to the record, make one bold prediction on something you think will happen for the Jaguars this season. Good, bad, offense, defense, coaching-wise, doesn't really matter. Just make one bold prediction about the Jaguars' season. We'll compile those, take a look at them later, and we'll make some of our own predictions a little bit later on. We'll also today make our predictions on which teams will make the playoffs in the National Football League, what the Super Bowl matchup will be. Is now the appropriate point to mention that I had New England-Seattle last year, Tony, and then forget to mention that I had Seattle winning it? Probably. Is that about the point? You'd figure I would bring that up. I'm going to ride that one all the way up until the next Super Bowl, I think.
Why
all
not?
Right. And Mick Mixon, voice of the Carolina Panthers, will join us coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll get a little preview of Carolina as they're dealing with, you know, both teams have significant injuries that we know about, with guys like Kelvin Benjamin, Julius Thomas, Kelvin Benjamin out for the season, Thomas out for maybe the first month of the season, center Ryan Khalil limited in practice after missing time with a knee injury for Carolina, so they're not positive if he's going to be available this weekend. Star Lotulelei, who was a lot of people's selection for the Jags when we talked about the draft a few years ago, a lot of people thought he might come here or wanted him to come here, is dealing with a stress reaction in his foot and was not practicing yesterday. So up in the air as to whether or not a couple of line starters for the Carolina Panthers will be in that lineup on Sunday. And there you have it, Jags, Panthers, Sunday afternoon. Let's talk about that. If you want to make predictions on the NFL as a whole, you're welcome to call in and talk about any aspect of Jaguar football at 641-1010. That also works as your Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, so you can send your texts in that way. Of course, the Twitters are at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Ryan O'Halloran, and share with us your predictions on the Jags record and one bold prediction on what will happen during the season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll hit the ground rolling. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank. It's Jaguars today on the opening day of the 2015 NFL season here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I think you'll probably end up seeing him starting. I think that, again, will be by committee a little bit. We'll rotate guys. But, you should see him out there with the first group.
Can't believe Gus Bradley said he's going to rotate his quarterbacks like that. No, I'm kidding. Making sure you're paying attention. That's Chris Clemens he's talking about, who'll be your starting Leo. But as you would expect, they're going to rotate these guys in anyway. Ryan, there had been a lot of thought that maybe he was more of a situational pass rusher this year, that they'd go another direction at the Leo position, try to take some pressure off Clemens on early down, save his legs, aging player in the National Football League. Ultimately, maybe they feel the same thing with these other guys. These other guys aren't ready to play that much of an expanded role. That ideally, they don't have that guy. They hoped Andre Branch would be the guy that could take a lot of those reps, and these other guys could sub in sub packages.
Well, I think it's by default, to your point, is they don't feel these other guys are ready. I think he's going to play some first down. It basically just shows if you do whatever you want around here, you're going to start. Milk an injury, fake an injury, not show up on time.
You know this?
Boycott stuff.
Are we breaking news here?
Well, Clemens says he wasn't injured, but so he's starting by default. I still think ideally what they want to do is play him on third down and maybe some first down stuff and get him off the field. And, they're like I wrote in yesterday's paper. You're not supposed to be cobbling together a 46-man roster in week one, but that's what they're having to do. So that means guys are going to have to play bigger roles than they anticipated.
What else are they going to do, right? I mean, part of it was this decision not to put Cedric Marks on the PUP, left them with one more kind of dead space on the roster, a guaranteed game day inactive at least to start the season. Ziggy Hood, with the plantar fasciitis. So Ziggy Hood, you had him making the team, right? I thought he would have made the team as well. Mm-hmm. So to the benefit of somebody else, but, that last preseason game, Lawson, who was the immediate guy, the heartbeat away guy at strong safety, and now he ends up on the practice squad, but you lost two guys in the first 5 minutes of that game that were going to contribute on defense this year.
I think so, and so now you look at, when they're doing their final cuts on Friday, they're saying these guys aren't even available week one. Thomas, Branch, Marks, Lee, Thought Reynolds until he practiced yesterday. So, they basically had their inactive set.
Right.
So now guys are starting to round it. But you had Brian Walters. He told me he's going to practice today, be available Sunday.
They need him.
That's big because that means you don't have to make a roster move to bring up a receiver. And the thing they're running into is even next week at this time, let's say they get dinged up a little bit, is you have so many guys already hurt on the 53. Who do you cut to add a guy?
Right.
I mean, you're not going to, let's say Brian Walters and Marquise, Brian Walters wasn't ready to go this week. Do you cut him for a week or bring in another receiver? So, fortunately for the Jags, I don't think they'll have to make any roster moves between now and Sunday.
Let's hope that's the case. Let's hope everybody stays healthy between now and Sunday as well. If you'd like to get in, make your predictions on the Jags season, either record-wise or just a bold prediction, and we're getting some bold predictions
yes,
on Twitter.
Yes, we are.
Holy smokes, are we getting some bold predictions? That's okay. That's what the word bold means. Stick your neck out there a little bit and see if you can forecast the future and see what's going to come of it. Again, 641-1010, the phone line, and it also is the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Got a few coming in there. Congrats to Nick Marshall and Corey Grant. And I got one thing to say, war damn eagle. I'd be pretty happy, too, if I'm an Auburn slash Jags fan. On the text line, 11-4, make it to the AFC Championship game and maybe the Super Bowl. Blake Bortles is in the top five quarterback ratings at the end of the year. All that qualifies as a series of bold predictions.
Yes, it does.
Right there. Mick Mixon coming up in about 15 minutes. So let's get to some sound from Gus Bradley. From yesterday, he and Blake Bortles both meeting with the media midweek, as is the habit around here, getting you ready for the Carolina Panthers to come in and take on the Jaguars. And we talked a lot about the offensive line this offseason. We didn't spend a ton of time on Zane Beatles. And I think, Ryan, a lot of people expected A.J. McCann to come in and maybe push for that job right away. I don't think McCann was ready for that. It just looked like.
Yeah.
What did I say? McCann?
I've been thinking about McDonald's for lunch.
Is there an A.J. McCann?
I don't know. You're probably thinking about your catcher.
I'm thinking A.J. McCarron is probably what I'm doing. A.J. McCann, thank you very much. To start the day.
Well, we got 20 minutes in. I agree with that point because I was sort of carrying that flag on draft night. Okay.
Get him ready. Get him ready to go, right?
They're getting ready to go because all they said was, we couldn't believe he's here, which, you know, is that draft talk or whatever. And basically, we gave Gus and Dave a couple chances to say, what does this mean for Zane Beatles? And they're like, well, he's going to compete. Well, it never really developed because I think Zane answered the bell. And when we were watching, Can didn't take any first-team reps, which I think is a nod toward Beatles. And maybe they didn't think Can was far as long as they thought.
Here was Gus Bradley asked to assess the play of Zane Beatles in the preseason.
More consistent. I think that he stepped up his game. I see a more focused individual. I think last year he was trying to understand his role, you know, to be the leader of the offensive line, to be the, kind of a voice for the offense, all those traits. I think now this year he's really just focused on making sure he gets right. And through that, he's become more strong in that position group and with the offense. So I've seen a more consistent player.
Yeah, and we'll see what the offensive line looks like. We all thought it looked better in this preseason, obviously, than it did in 2014. But the real test starts this weekend against Carolina.
I think, Tony, in the question in your mind more about the run blocking at this point, right? I mean, they had difficulty running the ball last year. I think they're going to be good, particularly running to the right side with Wisniewski, Linder, and Parnell over there. And you can always put Mercedes wherever you want him as well. Didn't really see a whole lot of push, particularly against Detroit in that third preseason game. I thought the pass protection exceeded my expectations.
And I thought it was odd, too, Ryan. You know, talking about this team and thinking they're going to be a right-handed team when it comes to the run game with Linder and Parnell over there, it felt like in the preseason maybe they were just trying to see what they have, but they ran left a lot. You know, they ran behind Jokels and Beatles a lot. I don't know if that was about evaluating those two guys and they feel like they're good on the right side, but it felt like they were a lot more left-handed running than they were right.
The end of that theory would play into what I would think is, okay, you sort of know what you got in Linder, and, you know, Parnell was just tossing guys across the crossbar a couple of times. I think one of the goals of this offensive line and Doug Marrone during this preseason is they wanted to get Luke Jokel confident. And okay, we're gonna run behind your butt, and you're gonna put somebody on the ground. At times he struggled, holding penalty in the red zone against the Giants, sacked against Pittsburgh, got blown up against Detroit. So I think that's one of the things. If you rank these guys 1 through 5, the biggest, I don't know if I want to use question mark, but biggest thing I'm gonna be watching is Luke Jokel.
I think sure. Right, and I think that's fair to say. I mean, look, he's a high draft pick. It's the most important position we've been, conditioned to believe on the offensive line. And I think most people would say that it is. And I think the other thing, too, if you're running it and giving a good mix to the left side, and Jokel has been praised for his run blocking, it gives that defensive end something to think about, mm-hmm. too, right? And maybe he's not getting off the ball coming up field quite as quickly on those early downs, and that can help Luke Jokel out a little bit as well.
Yeah, the old pin their ears back.
Right, right. If you can't, if you can unpin the ears, maybe a little bit with these guys.
We'll create a new phrase: unpin the defensive end's ears. Gus Bradley talking yesterday about another guy that we haven't talked about a whole lot this offseason, but was a priority for them getting him back in the fold. That's Tyson Alualu because of his versatility to play a couple of different positions. Gus Bradley talked yesterday about Alualu's ability to earn that trust.
Well, multiple positions, very solid. And you know exactly what you're getting from. You know, it can play 6 technique, 4 technique, 3 technique. And to have that versatility, especially when you're going to rotate the number of players we're going to be, is extremely important. And I think that he's got the trust of everybody around him. And that's something that we don't take lightly.
Alawal's a strong guy. He's always been a work ethic guy, I think. You know, get along with his teammates. Never had an issue. The only issue anyone's ever had with him is that he was overdrafted, and that's on his fault. You know, that's a Gene Smith thing at the time when he went 10th overall.
One thing on Tyson, and I agree with those points, and one thing I think the coaches are aware of is for all the positive stuff he's doing, you can't overtax him. I mean, there's a reason why you've replaced him several years in a row. So it's almost like the more he's on the field, probably the worse off they are, because it means they're not stopping anybody and guys are hurt. So I think that's one of the things you monitor on Sunday is what exactly do they have in mind for Alualu. At the beginning, I think he may just be a defensive tackle. And then once everybody gets back, then he can start segueing into that role of backing up Audric.
Yeah, I think Avery Jones becomes a more important player, obviously, because of the injury to Ziggy Hood and the absence of Sindarik Marks, at least in the short term, early on this season. By the way, another defensive tackle out there, Marcel Darius, who the deal that he just got, most guaranteed money for a non-quarterback in NFL history. That didn't take long in Ndamukong Suh. I mean, what did Ndamukong Suh get? Like $59 million guaranteed? He got 60 guaranteed.
Jeez,
6 year.
Marcel Darius?
Marcel Darius got a 6 year, $108 million extension. Oh, by the way, we'll see in week two. He's suspended week one. So, I mean, you can count on him at least, Ryan.
Take some of that. Go to Tahiti for a
Holy
week.
Small, right? You got plenty of time. You could take any plane you want. You could build your own plane. It's unbelievable. All right. Let's get more thoughts from Gus Bradley talking about the guy that I think most people, other than Cam Newton himself, feel is the most dangerous weapon that they're going to be facing, and clearly the most accomplished pass catcher that Carolina brings in to town will be tight end Greg Olsen.
You have to have great awareness of where he's at. I think there was a game, I think it was the third preseason game, the first half he was targeted 9 times. So obviously, you know, and he should be. He's a very good player. I think even without the injury, he'd be a guy that we need to be aware of where he is on the field and how they're going to utilize him. They do a good job of moving him around, putting him in different positions and looking for matchups. So, you know, I think we have to have great awareness without really getting out of what we do as well.
Against Seattle in the playoff game last year, he lined up at 10 different spots. That's the definition of being moved around. Asked Posluszny about it yesterday. He felt the defense is just better equipped to cover tight ends this year with Skuda, Telvin. Interesting matchup is going to be that if they do put him out wide, do the Jags keep Colvin or House on him, or do they move
why
a linebacker?
Wouldn't you? Right? I mean, really?
I would.
Why would? He's the best receiver. Forget what they call him, what his designation. He's best receiver on that football team.
And I would think, I think when he does line up at tight end, is I think Cyprien would be a consideration.
Gus Bradley speaking yesterday, continuing to talk about the Jags defense as they get ready for this matchup against Carolina. I know, man, I don't know what the number of big chunk plays that Carolina would have to get in this game for me to go, what the heck is going on with this defense? But the number's pretty small, given the players that they'll be running out there on Sunday. Gus Bradley talked about this being a good test for this Jags defense.
I think their whole scheme is a real strong test because, you know, they obviously they want to run the ball, and they've been very effective, especially at the end of last season, running the ball. And with that, the play pass opens up. And, you know, regardless of the receivers, when you have that capability, it puts a lot of strain on the defense. It's just that they've got some really good speed on top of it, so that makes it even more challenging.
That's the thing. You can't forget. I mean, Ted Ginn does have deep speed, right? You can't just – these guys are NFL players. They're not well-accomplished receivers. Mm-hmm. Philly Brown, he's back to being called now because Corey Brown couldn't catch.
Yeah, well, Philly's so Corey's not a starter, so I'm not Philly. And he changed his number.
Right. Yeah, he's, whatever. I mean, he needed something. He had something like 5 drops in the preseason.
It's funny. Is yesterday, Ron Rivera is on with us, and I think I asked about Ted Ginn. Is he, you know, did he transition fine after return. Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden he brings up, he goes, we got Philly Brown. I know you're going to ask about the drops. I'm not worried about those. So
okay.
The fact that he brought it up tells me he's concerned.
Right. All right. Here's a quick one. Gus weighing in on whether or not we'll see any of Marquise Lee.
He ran today. We'll see from the trainers, where he's at. I know he said he felt pretty good. So, we'll find out more tonight.
I'm not expecting him. Anybody else?
No.
Percentage chance Marquise Lee is active on Sunday?
I'd say zero.
Zero.
And
right.
I would say...
he's going to go 10.
I'd say 10 for week two.
Okay.
Because these guys here are very much into that return to play.
Right. Return at full strength, yeah, ready to go.
Solid week of practice.
Right.
If they... come back next week is basically two practices and two walkthroughs. Is that enough to show them? And let's face it, I think they do, and Dave Caldwell said this on Saturday, is they do have a little bit of a luxury here in terms of they feel pretty solid about those top three guys. And then maybe they want, they can give Marquise a little bit more time. But August 5th, he was hurt.
I hear you. We'll keep monitoring the situation. Ryan the Realist here with us, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union. Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you. Coming up in moments, Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, will join us. We'll get the latest on some of the injuries that the Panthers are dealing with as well as they come in to take on your Jacksonville Jaguars this Sunday. Live at Everbank, it's Jaguars today on 1010XL. 92.5 FM. I hope you look quickly. You didn't get to see much of it this year. Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin off to a strong preseason start after a terrific rookie year for the wide receiver out of Florida State University. Over 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns for Kelvin Benjamin. Obviously the torn ACL, non-contact injury, and he's lost for the season for the Panthers. Jags know all about that with Dante Fowler Jr. going down in the early moments of rookie minicamp. And joining us now from the Carolina Panther Radio Network, who had the call of that play, that'd be Mr. Mick Mixon joining us here, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. Good morning, Mick. How are you?
It's all good. It's good to be in the diner. I got an order here for you. Scrambled egg whites, hash browns, maybe orange juice, Diet Coke.
Coming up, brother. No bacon with that? Come on, everybody wants bacon. You don't want any bacon?
No. My cholesterol is about a million.
You ordered egg whites.
That's true.
That's right.
All right. I'll take your bacon and I'll take your egg yolks too. I'll take it all. I'll take it all, man. Mick, obviously, let's start with the bad here. The Carolina Panthers losing Kelvin Benjamin, Frank Alexander, another guy. They've got some guys that are banged up right now, but certainly Benjamin, the guy that a lot of the focal attention goes to in today's game, wide open passing. He was the clear-cut best wide receiver on that team. How do they overcome this loss in the short term, at least until Devin Funchess gets up to full speed here?
Yeah, it's a great call. I'm not sure it's an answerable question. The Panthers will put the best spin on it that is possible, but the plain facts are what they are, and that is that we don't have anybody else like Kelvin Benjamin. There are not many like him in the NFL. The 6'5", the catch radius, the dive for, the narrow waist, the broad shoulders, the ability to outfight people for the ball. He's very good in crowds of people, and particularly in the red zone. And then, additionally, guys, he and Cam Newton were sort of big brother, kid brother. Benjamin, they always say in the NFL, the rookies don't know what they don't know. So Benjamin's first road trip, he plunked down in Greg Olsen's seat. So then Greg Olsen says, hey, kid, that's my seat. You're going to have to find somewhere else to sit. So then Benjamin slides over one row and sits right next to Cam Newton, that used to having a row by himself. Benjamin just happy as he can be, just talking in Cam's ear, not letting him get any rest, that yappy little rookie dog. But the two of them were great friends, and they sort of ham and egged it, to use the diner word, off the field as well as on the field. So I think it knocked Cam back just a bit, but Panthers signed Kevin Norwood off the actually traded for Kevin Norwood. Didn't sign him off the street. Traded with Seattle to get Kevin Norwood. And he's come in. Funchess is getting healthier. Had the baby hand tweak. So I think we're going to be okay.
Follow up on the receivers. You mentioned those guys, Ginn, Norwood, Brown, Cotry. Who do you think Cam has the biggest comfort zone with right now?
Olsen, number one. And then It would seem odd to say, because Corey Brown, Philly Brown, has had some drops in the preseason. But I really think Cam likes throwing the ball up to those fast, they call them the minions, Ted Ginn Jr. And Corey Brown, 19 and then 10. Corey Brown switched numbers. He's wearing number 10 now. So I think Cam just likes putting a little air underneath it and watching those fast guys go and get it. But then Jericho Koshri, he's fun to watch as well. I'm trying to think of maybe there's an analogy to some of the Jacksonville receivers. That Koshri's that, you know, that kind of that veteran, that gray, that Labrador retriever that patrols the neighborhood, that's swarming all the streams and knows every fire hydrant. Just a veteran guy, can mentor the younger players, good player in his own right, very good without the football. So Cam Newton doesn't hesitate to turn it loose if he sees the 82 break up.
Cam Newton came into the season last year, Mick, with the injury problems. It slowed him down, at least early on. He's a guy that a lot of his game is predicated on his ability to move the pocket, to make plays with his legs. How much do you think Carolina wants to limit that kind of exposure for Cam Newton, especially early on in this 2015 season?
Well, this is one of the great mysteries of a sporting life that I hope to get decoded for me someday. I'm 56 years old, so I'm probably running out of years, but why is it that everyone seems to think that a quarterback like Cam Newton is in danger being a running quarterback? My point is that if Cam's running, he dictates. He's facing the defense. He's protected in some ways, in some parts of the field by rule. He can get out of bounds. He can tuck his legs up underneath him. If he were a little better slider, if he would take some sliding lessons from Russell Wilson, I see no reason why that he could not continue to do what he's done so well, which is pick his spots and run the ball. I put to you that he's safer doing that, even though he's running, than he would be in the pocket, back to the right defensive end, hoping that the left tackle does his job. Does that make any sense, what I said?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think it's clear to me that they got to unleash the guy, Mick. He wasn't the same player last year because he didn't have the freedom to do that, and they were trying to protect him, and that's understandable. But I think they're going to cut him loose, man. He's in the prime of his career. While he can still do it, I think they're going to lean on that as much as possible this year between he and Olsen and Jonathan Stewart. I think that's going to be the core of the offense. But a couple of guys, one guy on each line of scrimmage here, Ryan Khalil at center, Star Lotulelei as your defensive tackle, both banged up, different ailments. Tell us what's the latest. Are they expecting to have these guys for Sunday?
So I'm on the radio in Jacksonville now, right?
That's right. So give us a scoop. We want the inside dirt.
So anything I say can and will be used against me in the locker room?
No. Nobody listens to this program, Mick. Trust me. All right?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to give a shout-out to Coach Bradley and the entire coaching staff. I'm sure tuned in. But, no, I think here's the way it looks. Less likely for Star Lotulelei. He could still make the trip and could still play at a high level, could still get three sacks in the game, but he's been doled out more gingerly at practice. But Ryan Khalil looks like he's been involved in more drills, more stuff. Still got a little bit of a brace on the one knee that he got tweaked in the preseason. But Ryan Khalil, man, he is so solid anchoring that line. And then when Star Lotulelei is healthy, he's got that country strength, the violent shock at the point of attack, and that anchor strength that you look for. So we'll miss Star Lotulelei if he doesn't play. Plus, I think his cousin is on Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
John,
yeah. Moving on to defense, staying with defense, Shaq Thompson or A.J. Klein at outside linebacker?
Shaq Thompson and A.J. Klein are, this is odd to me, but I always thought when the Panthers were looking at Shaq Thompson in the draft that he'd be a weak side linebacker, but he's actually playing the strong side backer. That could be more just semantics than really hard football lexicals, because it's Sean McDermott's defense is strong, and weak side linebackers may be more interchangeable than in some defenses, but Klein has given a great battle. I mean, it's not just Shaq Thompson. Job. A.J. Klein has been everywhere. A lot of times you'll see, tell Frank too, he needs to be on the lookout for this, that he might see 59, think that it's been a great play by Luke Kuechly, but it could be 56. So don't be too quick on the call. We've got tripped up by that a time or two. Klein looking Kuechly-like in how he patrols the field. Shaq Thompson gives you that versatility, though, to not have to sub in with different personnel groupings when the offense subs in, because of Shaq Thompson's ability to run with tight ends and run with backs coming out of the backfield.
2 years ago, Carolina was a dominant defensive team. Last year, obviously, a lot going on off the field with Greg Hardy and everything that they had to deal with there. Do they feel like they've answered some of those pass rush questions there? They've still got a lot of talent in that linebacker core, especially with Luke Kuechly there at middle linebacker, but they didn't have much of a pass rush last year. Do they feel like Coney Ealy, some of these guys are stepping up into that kind of role?
Great point about Ealy. I would say a qualified yes to your question, and mainly because of Coney Ealy. He's on the come. He turned a corner. He's because guys that can just line up wide and rush the passer, those dudes tend to be more common. But can you tackle? Can you stop the run? Are you a liability? Can you play first down and 10? Can you play second and medium? Or do you just come in on a passing situation? So Coney Ealy's evolution, he's developed not just a pass rush move, but he's got a couple of counter moves. That's been key. And he's been better against the run, a better tackler in mini camp and OTAs and also through the preseason.
Mick Mixon, voice of the Panthers. Mick, as we wrap up here, 7-8-1, good enough to win the division last year, and then they get a playoff victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Overall impression, better team this year, step back, or about the same for the Panthers?
Oh, I think much better, and it's people may roll your eyes. Oh yeah, yeah, it's Mick just saying this on the radio, but there's the evidence is every Panther draft choice made the team and is made the 53, and they're playing well. They're from Devin Funchess, Shaq Thompson, David Mayo, Darrell Williams, an offensive lineman. The draft class looks like it's going to help. So a couple of free agent signings made the team. Panthers have enviable depth at running back. Even though it's not the brand name, the Fortune 500 backfield with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, you still have Jonathan Stewart, a good stable of back, Cam Newton at the height of his powers, a coaching staff that's got three or four guys on it that look like head coaches in waiting. I think double-digit wins and a nice deep playoff run is a realistic goal for this club.
Well, we'll keep an eye on them. It's going to be tough to get those double digits after the 0-1 start. Oh, I said it, Mick. That's right. Hey, listen, if Ron Rivera asks, you said nothing of interest to us, okay? Look, I'm just kidding around with you, but we do appreciate it, man. Enjoy the trip down and have a good call this weekend. We'll look forward to seeing you here in Jacksonville.
No doubt. Thanks, guys. If y'all are at the game, come find me in a visiting radio press box.
Oh, we'll be here. Trust us, we'll be here. We'll say hello, Mick. Thanks so much,
thanks,
buddy.
Mick.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes, Mick Mixon, voice of the Carolina Panthers. You're welcome, Gus. I had to ask. I mean, it is a weird position to be in, right? You work for the team, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't mean the play-by-play guy necessarily has the inside scoop on who's going to be active on game day.
No.
Either. It does seem like Star Lotulelei is trending in a worse direction than Khalil based on the practice reports from yesterday, but something to watch. Those are two pretty important guys for the Panthers.
And also, Charles Johnson did not play at all in the preseason. Charles Tillman was concussed in the preseason. Josh Norman was concussed during the preseason. So they have some guys like the Jags who didn't play a lot in August. Now coming back, so you wonder, okay, are they fit to play the whole game?
Well, it's a winnable, it's a takeable division that they're in. But I don't see it move back to double digits. I mean, they in part fell back last year because they lost Greg Hardy. He's not coming back. Even with the addition of Kelvin Benjamin, he's obviously gone. I don't think the rest of these guys, what did he refer to them as? What did he call those guys?
Fortune 500 running backs?
No, the little midgets. What did he call the wide receivers? I don't know what he said about them. But,
he had a term. I don't remember.
He did. I don't think it's enough offensively for the Carolina Panthers. They probably have the best defense in the division, but that's by default. No really other good defenses in that division. I don't know if they have enough offense to get the double-digit wins this year.
Well, whoever wins that division is because they probably beat up on the AFC South.
Could be.
If a team can go 3-1, steal a game and go 4-0, that may be enough to get the 9-7, 10-6, win the division.
Might be the case. The rest of them, they could eat each other up head-to-head over there. All right, coming up next, we've got this date in football history. We've got the drive around the NFL. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll make our predictions on which teams make the playoffs in the NFL this season and who will be meeting each other in Santa Clara. The road to Santa Clara, as Ryan O'Halloran refers to it, Super Bowl 50. Maybe it's your Jacksonville Jaguars. This is Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you this week by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. And boy, you might have needed a roofer over the past week or so with all the rain. But on this date in football history, September 10th, we go back to 1937. The Cleveland Rams played their first NFL game. They were 28-0 losers in said game. Go back to 1989. Indianapolis running back Eric Dickerson ran for 106 yards against San Francisco, and in doing so, became the fastest player to top the 10,000 yard plateau. He did it in 91 career games. Jim Brown previously was the record holder, and he hit 10,000 yards in his 98th career game. One birthday of note for this date, former Jaguar linebacker Brandon Marshall has made a nice name for himself out in Denver. Turns 26 years old today. That's this date in football history, brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. In home, your business, anywhere that your roof needs repairing or maybe a complete re-roofing job, Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing, the call to make at 287-7756, license number CCC056797. Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing, bringing you this date in First Coast. This date in football history. I can't speak, Tony.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's this date in First Coast history, Tony.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing there. The Philadelphia Eagles and Sam Bradford have cut off their contract extensions on the eve of the season. Bradford will turn 28 years old this year and is still in the final year of his contract, his rookie deal, in his first year in Philadelphia after being traded from St. Louis. He is scheduled to make just under $14 million this season. Will have earned over $70 million in his career to this point because he was the number one pick just before that rookie wage scale went into place in the draft. He has started just 39 games in 4 years and close to $70 million. It's a pretty good gig if you can get it.
I guess if you had $50 million guaranteed in your rookie deal, you can take the chance that you'll stay healthy this year before your
I will gamble on myself on one of the teams that is predicted as a potential Super Bowl team.
And I will fall back on my wallet if necessary.
Yes. Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Marcell Dareus has agreed to a new contract extension, 6 years. I've heard different numbers reported, but I heard 100, I heard 106, I've heard 108. But we do know it's going to be around $60 million guaranteed in that deal for Dareus. Of course, he is suspended for week one of the NFL season, and IK and Impali reportedly facing a 4-game suspension for punching Geno Smith in the face. He is currently on the Bills practice squad, and in case you're asking, well, do they suspend you for the 4 games on the practice squad? Yeah. He'll miss 4 week checks from the Buffalo Bills practice squad.
4 practice squad checks is what he'll get. Vic Carucci says $108 million for Dareus. I would trust Vic.
I would too.
Buffalo News.
That has to put him around top 10 in the league, average salary?
Oh, you would think so. I mean, if it's the biggest guarantee for a non-quarterback in league history, I'm sure there are several quarterbacks ahead of him, and I don't know how that compares to the average deal of Ndamukong Suh. Don't frankly care all that much, really. They're both getting plenty of money. There you go. We'll see him later this season over in London if the plane is able to take off with his big wide body on it. All right. Let's hear a little bit from Blake Bortles here yesterday as we've got our predictions for the season coming up for we're looking at playoff teams, but we'll make a prediction on the Jags, make a bold prediction as well as we're asking you to do that. That's the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day. Give us your predicted record for the Jaguars and make one bold prediction on something that will happen for the Jags this year, good, bad, offense, defense, or otherwise, whatever you want to do. Here was Bortles yuesterday being asked about the Luke Kuechly-led Carolina Panther defense.
Yeah, he's a special player. Super talented, can kind of go sideline to sideline, and is good in the box. And Thomas Davis is a good player as well. So, you know, they got a good defense that can make plays. And obviously, you know, schematically with some of the things they do on third down, it presents a challenge. So we'll have to be sharp and on top of protections and all that stuff.
And according to Mick Mixon, if you squint your eyes, A.J. Klein looks like he might be Luke Kuechly 2.0 out there as well.
Don't squint your eyes.
Good advice for Frank Frangie on the call on Sunday afternoon. Bortles talking yesterday after practice. Also, he wasn't involved in the game last year where they went up to Philadelphia and blitzed them in the first half and then got blitzed in the second half, and it went on from there for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2014. But he was talked about the importance of getting off to a good start this season.
You know, I think you guys know we take it one game at a time, and right now this is the most important game. And, you know, obviously everybody's going to be juiced up for the season opener. The dress rehearsal preseason's over with, and this is, you know, your first opportunity at a first impression in the regular season. So guys are going to be pumped up and excited. But, you know, we have to be able to stay calm and play within ourselves and do what we've been doing for the past couple months. You know, I think that that'll allow us to go out there and play within the offense and execute.
I can't believe Blake didn't get work
like
the process in there
right.
at all. Not no work the process? Huh? One game at a time.
Well, it would have been great if you would have said, open up a can of whoop-ass.
There you go, right? Isn't that what Mike McCarthy basically said about the Bears?
That was awesome.
Right? We're going to go down and kick the Bears' ass. I love it. Bortles says he is confident in his wide receiver group to step up if and when guys ahead of them go down with injury.
I think it's a really good room. You know, I think guys have stepped up in that room. I think it's obviously a young room and a talented room. But those guys have been really good during practice. They've been able to, you know, pick up from Marquise being out. Obviously, Brian's out right now. But I have trust in every single one of those guys in that room and you know, looking forward to see what they can do.
Couple wily veterans there in that defensive backfield for this Carolina Panthers team coming in. Charles Tillman, Roman Harper. I know the discussion about Blake to some degree last year was about veterans being able to fool him at times. He was asked yesterday about those two guys specifically, but if he's been able to be baited by veteran defensive backs in this league.
Yeah, they're good at stuff like that. You know, they've been around a long time. They're smart guys. They know, you know, as a quarterback what you're looking for in coverages and blitzes and stuff like that. So they're really good at disguising things. You know, Tillman's unbelievable at getting balls out. You know, he's got great ball skills. He forces a ton of fumbles. So, you know, those are things we're going to have to be aware of and something that we'll practice throughout the week.
That's a great answer from a great question.
Yeah, I was that well. Must have been Vito, I guess. That's that. There you have it. Right. Must have been Vito.
I'm laughing so I don't have to swear.
All right, then. By the way.
A-Team TU is here today, by the way.
The crack research department, Reed Tyler Devitt, tells us that if, in fact, it's a $108 million deal for Marcell Dareus, he is tied for 13th with Tony Romo for the highest average salary. Bunch of quarterbacks ahead of him is
right.
Basically an Ndamukong Suh. Aaron Rodgers at $22 million. Russell Wilson right now at 21.9. Ben Roethlisberger at 21.85. Philip Rivers at 20.8125. That's plenty. Cam Newton a little over $20.7 million. So is Matt Ryan. Joe Flacco's a little over $20 million. Drew Brees right at 20. Ryan Tannehill at 19.25. And Ndamukong Suh at 19. Colin Kaepernick, well spent money there, at 19. Jay Cutler, you got $18 million for his arm, $100,000 for his leadership. Is what you got.
There you go.
I thought you were going to say $100,000 for his head.
However you want to look at it, it's about the same thing. What you want is you hope you can look up and say, damn, does Bortles really deserve $20 million? Because if he gets $20 million, that means they felt at some point he was worthy of taking that, you know, rise into that next tier of guys, that this is the guy that truly is going to be the one that can lead them to sustained long-term success.
And most likely, he has already produced some of those eye-popping numbers to get to that contract level, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. You're not just going to hand that to him.
Yeah, you're not
right.
Projecting that.
Right. And then we'll talk about that because I think he can put up some decent numbers this year. Not eye popping from NFL standards, but maybe historical Jaguar passing standards. Mm-hmm. You know, coming back, we will take a look at around the league predictions on every division. Who makes the playoffs?
There's
wild
football
cards.
Tonight.
There's football tonight, Tony. We're going to get the opener up there in Foxborough. Patriots, Steelers, bunch of suspended players. A lot of suspended players in the NFL.
There's
right now,
an NFL game tonight that when they go to the second half, they're going to keep playing football.
The starters will come back out. In fact, the fourth quarter, they'll continue to play, Tony. They might even play for overtime if it's a three-point game late.
No, there might be a sense of urgency at some point.
This game will count
right
in the standings.
Oh, this is nice.
Someone will top the NFL Power Poll after tonight, and it will be Pittsburgh or New England by virtue of a 1-0 record, because the Power Poll in the NFL is the standings, after all. All right, coming up, we'll do that. We'll go around the league, make some predictions on the Jags as well, and continue to take yours on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar. Text line at 641-1010. You can tweet us. The Facebook page is open and busy. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran, live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues. Happy opening day of the NFL season. Jaguars open their season in three scant days. Pre-game coverage begins right here. 3 hours before kickoff, we'll have it all for you. A wide variety of the best and brightest minds. And me, JP Shadrick. Many guests. Full game day coverage, of course, your flagship station for the Jaguars, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Tonight, Gus Bradley Show, Jaguars Thursday. This afternoon, FanDuel Fantasy Forecast, Tony.
Yeah, baby.
Guess who's going to tune into that one? O'Halloran's going to try to steal some secrets and tips to steal my money out of my pocket this year. He's unbelievable, this guy. He's quite the vulture, and I respect that. I respect that about you, man, because I'm the same way. But we'll do that today. We'll give you some fantasy news you can use. We'll talk with Joe Pizzapia from FanDuel.com. He's our FanDuel insider to help you specifically game plan for that league if you're playing with us or any of the other FanDuel leagues that are out there. And we'll take your calls and tweets as well, lineup questions, rapid fire, that kind of stuff. It's just 1 hour. It'll be a blast. 641-1010 is the number. Coming up in a moment, we'll give our around-the-league predictions on playoff teams, Super Bowl matchup, Jags record, bold prediction for the Jaguars. Let's get a call in here with Jim next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Real quick, hey, no need to apologize, Mike, about you guys being homers for the Jags, you and Frank and even Nick from the Carolina Panthers. I spent the last 3 days in South Florida and Southwest Florida, and the only team that the 1972 Dolphins have to worry about is the 2015 Dolphins, from what I picked up.
That's how everybody feels, right?
Yeah, and then to Tampa, the best line was when a reporter asked Lovie Smith, are you concerned that Jameis Winston hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in the preseason? He goes, no, he threw touchdown passes at Florida State. So that's the ultimate in spin, and according to everybody over here, Jameis is the hands-down going to be offensive rookie of the year. So, I mean, I don't even know why we worry about this stuff, but that's a couple things. And one other thing on the media side, don't you think Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis ought to recuse themselves from all these questions about Deflategate and Spygate? Because when you listen to them, I got to believe that if Bill Belichick shot somebody and they had it on video, they would say, well, you know, the guy shouldn't have been in the way of the boy. I get that point. And, I mean, it's absolutely insane to even talk to these guys because they're not going to admit anybody cheated. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Ryan, go ahead and comment on that.
Let's touch on Bruschi here first. I totally agree on that. But you look at it from an ESPN side, they think that's good TV. I disagree, but it's almost like they shoot him up with B12 and say, defend your guy.
Right.
Because they want two conflicting opinions, even if one is totally demented. So I agree with your point. Continue.
By the way, Rodney Harrison's another one of those guys on NBC. Rodney Harrison's a proven cheater. He's a PED cheater.
Right.
And so he probably's like, oh, it's business as usual up there in New England. All right, Jim, what's your prediction for the Jags?
My bold prediction is, and I don't know whether this is bold or not, Marquise Lee will be listed as questionable with a hamstring all 17 weeks or 16 games.
That's awesome.
Where's the bold aspect there? I don't know. All right.
That's funniest prediction.
Thank you, Jim. We've had several Marquise Lee predictions along the way. I hope the albino tiger, which that name's going to stick, by the way. And it's much better than muscle hamster, at least, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it is.
Right? I mean, I think... I hope he exceeds expectations, and it shouldn't be hard because expectations are not very high, I think, from the Jaguar fan base. Sight unseen, we got to get him out there. All right, let's go around the AFC, guys. We'll go division winners first,
okay. And
then we'll go wild cards. Tony, we'll start with you in the AFC East.
AFC East, we're going to start with a surprise. I think it is Miami.
Do you?
I think the New England defense is weak enough this year. There's enough problems for them on that side of the ball which is what I know they won the division 2 years ago. That was when Miami was trying to break in a quarterback. They didn't have the defense built that they have right now. I think what they lost on the defensive side of the ball is going to come back to haunt them, especially late in the season. I think Miami wins the East.
Ryan?
I have New England continuing their reign with a 12-4 record.
I think Miami's much improved, but I do have New England winning the division as well. Let's go to the AFC North. O'Halloran.
I got Baltimore going 11-5. I just think Joe Flacco's really hit the stride in his career.
Yeah, I think I like Baltimore a ton. I mean, you remember where they were last year, twice they had a 14-point lead on New England in Foxborough. This team can get home field. Look out this year. I like Baltimore to win the AFC North as well.
I'm torn between two, but I'll go with Baltimore as well.
Who's the second?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers. All right. Yeah. I just think, boy, with Pittsburgh, I really question their defense, and much like you can with New England as well. There's no doubt about that. All right, let's go AFC South. Tony.
The Colts. I can't see anybody catching the Colts this season in the South.
O'Halloran?
I agree. I have the Indianapolis going 12-4.
I have the Jags going 16-0. No, I have I have the Colts winning it. In a nail-biter. Now, the Colts winning the division. Got to be realistic on what I think is going to happen. So Colts win the AFC South. And out west, O'Halloran.
I have Denver winning with a 10-6 record. I think Wade Phillips is really going to have an impact on that defense.
I've got San Diego winning the division because I'm tired of Denver winning that division every year. San Diego was a 9-win team last year. I think eventually Melvin Gordon's really going to help that running game. I think Melvin Ingram could have a breakout season this year on defense as well.
Curious about how Kubiak and Peyton Manning are going to get along on the offensive side of the ball, but I think the defense is going to be a lot better this year. I like Denver.
So you like Denver. Okay, so Tony, for you, it was Miami, it was Baltimore, it was Indianapolis, and Denver. Who are your two wild card teams?
I'll go Pittsburgh and New England.
Pittsburgh and New England is a wild card. So Halloran, you had New England, Baltimore, Indianapolis, and the Denver Broncos, and your wild cards are?
My wild card is San Diego, okay. And my other wild card is Houston.
Houston, okay. And I have New England, Baltimore, Indy, and San Diego. My wild cards are Denver and the Miami Dolphins. I do think Miami will be, as I said, much improved, just a little bit behind the Patriots. All right, moving over to the NFC. We'll start in the East, and I'll go first. I'll take the Philadelphia Eagles. Winners of 10 games each of the last 2 years. I think Dallas is going to miss DeMarco Murray more than they realize this year. I know that offensive line is very highly talented. I also think they're going to miss Orlando Scandrick in the secondary, maybe their best cover guy back there after the season. I believe in Chip Kelly's offense. I believe he's going to get it done, and I think that team goes 11-5, 12-4, and wins the NFC East. Tony.
Giants. No, I'm just kidding. It's not the Giants this year. I got a feeling it's the Eagles, too.
Eagles for you as well.
So I'll take Philadelphia.
I'm going to stick with Dallas because Sam Bradford just hasn't done it.
Fair point.
There's some injury, and I think Philadelphia's injury, they've been so healthy recently, but I think Cowboys hang on for just one more year.
I think you could argue, and I mean, look, Dallas certainly, they won 12 games last year, but you could argue that until last year, Romo hadn't done it much, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of 8-8s in there, but certainly had played a lot of high-level football compared to Sam Bradford. NFC North, Tony?
Green Bay.
Green Bay, 13-3.
Would have been surprised if you guys had said anything else, despite the fact that Minnesota seems to be the darling of the national media this year. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers as well. Tony, who do you like in the South? This one's up for grabs.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I think Drew Brees has what will be called a bounce-back year, despite the fact that statistically he was still wonderful.
Statistically marvelous
last year. Yes. But I think the defense has improved enough this offseason that I like New Orleans.
I have New Orleans going 11-5.
Wow, how about that?
I have Brandon Browner making an impact at corner. They drafted a bunch of guys on defense. You figure if one or two of those guys work out.
I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons just because, you know, look, I think their offense is going to be pretty good this year. I think Matt Ryan may have a career year this season, and I'm interested to see if Vic Beasley can invigorate that pass rush. So I'm going to go with Atlanta. And again, it wouldn't surprise me if anyone but Tampa won that division. I don't know if the Bucs are going from the worst record in the game. And I know that division has flipped worse to first several times.
Sure.
Going out to the West, O'Halloran, who you got?
I have Seattle winning an 11-5 record, and I have them as the only team finishing with a winning record in that division.
Really? How about that, Tony?
Seattle.
I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe I'm trying to be a little edgy, but
I don't trust their line.
I understandable, but I think Seattle's got some holes, too. They have a very shaky offensive line right now. We don't know when Cam Chancellor is going to come back, at what point. And I think, you know, you've got a guy like Marshawn Lynch one injury to Marshawn Lynch and that whole thing could go south. Now, clearly, we saw one injury to Carson Palmer, threw the thing off the rails in Arizona last year, but Palmer starts the season healthy. They went 11-5 last year. I think they can win the NFC West. My wild cards out in the NFC are Seattle and Dallas, with Detroit just getting edged out for the third spot. Who do you have?
My wild cards are Minnesota and Philadelphia.
Minnesota and Philadelphia?
Minnesota and Atlanta.
Minnesota and Atlanta. Cards. Oh, Atlanta getting in there. Okay, taking advantage of the division. Now, let's go around the table. Super Bowl matchup, Tony Smith. Who you got?
For the Super Bowl, it's the AFC. It's the usual suspects every single year. I think Baltimore. I just trust Joe Flacco when you get to playoff time as much as I do anybody in the league right now. So I'll take Baltimore on the AFC side of things. The NFC, I like Philadelphia to win the division, but I think the defense is going to be run down enough because of the style of play that they have that they're not going to make that run through the NFC playoffs. I like Green Bay in the NFC.
We're going to have the same prediction then in the NFC. And I toyed with Arizona being the kind of the outside the box pick there, but I came down to the same thing. I realize you go back to the NFC title game. Forget how well Green Bay's defense shut down Seahawks and then just collapsed in the final 8 minutes or so of that football
game. Things had to go exactly right.
They don't have to outscore you to win, I don't think. And I don't know if that's the common conception about them. Who's your Super Bowl matchup, Ryan?
I have Seattle beating Green Bay, NFC title game, New England beating Baltimore, AFC. And then in the Super Bowl, Seattle, last gasp over New England.
Rematch.
Yes.
Rematch of the Super Bowl. All right. It'd be nice if we got Seattle Denver, we'd feel right back at home because Bruno Mars is going to do the halftime show again. Killed it 2 years ago. He really did. Bruno Mars, I think, is phenomenal. Seeing him live, I've only watched him there, and I've seen him like on Saturday Night Live. I just think he's outstanding performer. I really like Bruno Mars. Let's save the Jags for the other side. We'll come back.
Okay.
We'll hear some bold predictions. We got a ton of them in today from you. We asked you today, predict the Jags' record this season, and also make one bold prediction on what you think will happen with the Jaguars this year. And we got plenty of response in the Twitter inbox. We got it on the text line. We got it on Facebook. We got it all over the place. We'll share a lot of those with you coming back. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony, happy opening day of the NFL season, folks. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank, where you'll be live at Everbank this Sunday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. There we go, Jaguars Today on the opening day of the NFL regular season. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Howard of the Florida Times Union here with you. Glad you're along with us on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Guys, we've got some bold predictions from Jaguar fandom out there today. Let's go around the table. Let's do ours first, okay? Just to get them out of the way, so we can't.
The record or the prediction?
Let's do both. What is the record you've settled on for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tony? And what is your bold prediction for their season?
Record hasn't changed. I still think 7-9 after watching them in the preseason, just because of the questions I have pass rush. But I had those going in, basically, to everything that was going on with this football team. So I still got them at 7-9 because of how much I've seen Blake Bortles grow. My bold prediction: I will go with, there will be 12 touchdown receptions from the tight end position for this team this year.
Okay, that would be a bunch. Ryan O'Halloran, what is your record you've got for the Jacksonville Jaguars and your bold prediction?
6-10 record, and my bold prediction is they will cut the sacks allowed total in half.
Nice. That would knock down mid-30s.
71 right? To at least 35.
Nice. That would be a huge upgrade for them. I also have them at 6-10, unfortunately. If I really could give you a prediction, I'd give you 6.5 because I'm right there between the two. But I'll go 6-10. I feel more comfortable about that. And my prediction is that Blake Bortles sets the franchise touchdown passing mark, which currently is 23 for a single season by David Garrard. I don't think he'll set the yardage mark that Mark Brunell set back in 96, which is over 3,600. I think he'll throw somewhere 3,500 or less, but I think he can throw 24 touchdowns, and a big part of that will be the eventual return to health of Julius Thomas. So there are some predictions from us. We all hope we're wrong, at least on the first one. I don't know. Ryan's a hard, he's a hard-nosed journalist, and he doesn't care if he's right or wrong. He's just reporting the facts, ma'am.
Well, I don't mind being right.
Okay, there's that as well. He probably right. He probably prefers to be right.
Yes.
But if you're going to be wrong, you want to be wrong on the low side, right? You'd rather undershoot.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's more fun to cover a winning team. For goodness sakes.
It would be.
I think
it would be very interesting to be in this building next week at 1-0.
Oh my gosh! Oh, I know. I just that alone is gonna just that thought's gonna get me sustain me through Sunday. All right. By the way, if you're looking for my tickets this week, ain't happening. Even my wife has Jaguar fever. She's going to the opener, taking the kid on Sunday. I got to dredge up some parking for her, Tony, but we'll worry about that later. Anyway, Tony, today, Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships asking those same questions. Jaguar record and a bold prediction. We got a bunch. Give us a sampling.
Here's what we got from Dusty Duval. He said 19-0. Jaguars defense gets double the number of INTs that Bortles throws. That'll be 24 interceptions to 12. Oh, my gosh. From Colby Wacker, 8-8, they upset the Chargers at home 24-21. It's been a house of horrors for them against that Chargers team. From Cam, 6-10, Bortles breaks the franchise record for single-season touchdown passes. That sounds familiar. From Jaguar Steve, Yeldon will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Jags will drop the London game and play in Australia instead. From Blake Bortles, facts, 19-0. P.S., Blake Bortles has never lost to the Carolina Panthers. From Kevin, 8-8, the offensive line gives up less than 37 sacks. From Irish Jaguar, 7-9, bold prediction, the Jaguars will have a punt return and kick return touchdown in the same game this season. From Brian, 7-9, Jags will have 1,000-yard wide receiver and running back. From Foxtrot, 7-9, Denard Robinson has 1,000 yards rushing / receiving. From Matt, 9-7, Jason Myers goes 27 of 30 on field goals this year. From Jason, 10-6, Denard exceeds TJ's productions with less carries. Question will be, who's the feature back in 2016? From Ocho Fisho, 8-8 Jags. Texans game on week 17 will be flexed due to playoff implications. From Cristiano, 9-7 and a deep run into the playoffs. From Duval Doom, 9-7 with a sweep of both the Titans and the Texans. From Chris, record will be 10-6. Bold prediction, Jags are in playoff talks. From Daniel, Jags go 7-9. Bold prediction is Bortles will have 2.5 touchdown to interception ratio. From
That's
Eric,
bold.
It is. Blake Bortles will make the Pro Bowl 9-7. Hashtag might be an alternate. Hashtag would be freaking awesome. From Robbie, 7-9. Rashad Green has a punt return for a touchdown. Hashtag forgot what those look like. From David, predicting 8-10 wins. Bortles, A-Rob, JT, Telvin make the Pro Bowl. Grant takes one to the crib. From Demetrius, Jags go 7-9 while sweeping the Texans and sweeping the Titans, splitting with the Texans. At least one Jag represents us at the Pro Bowl. From Eric, they go 7-9, and a bold prediction is we will finish in the top 10 in the NFL in rushing. From Brandon, 9-7, and a big win against the Pats. From Bobby, 7-9 record, bold prediction, we have a corner or safety with at least 5 interceptions this year.
Alfie trying to just do me one better. Alfie went 7-9, and Bortles breaks the franchise record in touchdown passes. Now he's trying to set me up in a position, thanks Alfie, where it comes down to me versus Alfie if they're sitting on that 6-win mark. All right, I'll let you have it, Alfie. I'll take the 7. I hope we're both wrong, and it's north of that. Jamie Clark on Facebook said 12-4, Bortles combat will be NFL MVP, Manning Brady who? Damon Bunn said Jags go 10-6 with a 1,000-yard wide receiver, a 1,000-yard running back, and Bortles sets Jaguars passing yards and touchdown season records. Tommy Blair, 8-8. Bold prediction, I pick up Bortles midseason on my fantasy team, and he wins me the championship game with 4 touchdowns. Like it. Lars Dahl said 9-7. Bold prediction, the O-line goes from worst to best. Gives up the fewest sacks in the league this season.
Whoa.
Wow, he just did O'Halloran one better. Let's see. Jeremiah said Blake Bortles will break the Jaguars' yardage and touchdown passing marks this season. Lee Markham said they'll sweep the Titans, split with the Colts and Texans as they go 9-7. Let's see. Marcus Wayne or Wynn Thiessen said 6-10. Allen Robinson with 1,200 yards receiving. Michael Batten, 8-8. Is what I'm predicting. Blake will have over 2,000 passing yards. I certainly hope so. I hope he has a lot more than 2,000.
Please.
Josh Richburg, 9-7, undefeated in Jacksonville, 7-0. in Jacksonville, he calls for. Don Enfuego, Jags 7-9 with a 1,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard running back, and a 4,000-yard quarterback. That would surprise me. Daniel Roney, 7-9. Blake with 3,000 passing yards. Daniel Stewart, Jags go 7-9. Bold prediction. A-Rob will lead the AFC in touchdowns. Boom! Douglas Pelsey said 8-8, and he has a bet that they'll win at least three of their first six games. And if they do, his friend, who's a Titans fan, well, that was your first mistake, but his friend, who's a Titans fan, has to wear, and he added a picture of a plush Jaguar hat to the Titans-Jags game in Nashville and provide photos when it happens. Well, for Douglas's efforts, he'll be wearing a Jaguars Today t-shirt as soon as he gets with Tyler Devitt and figures out how to pick that up. Let's see, Cass Bridges, Jags go 11-5. They beat Indy for a playoff spot. Ian Smith, 8-8. Both Allen Robinson and Hearns go over 1,000 yards receiving. Kenneth Wayne, 8-8. Bold prediction, they win eight games, seriously. But they lead the league in sacks is his actual bold prediction. Andrew Miller, 6-10, but highly competitive in every game. Damon Austin says, Dempsey, you know me. Hashtag 10-6, hashtag 11-5. We've been saying that all summer. Bold prediction, we beat the Patriots 28-17 and the Colts 24-17. Shock the world. Turn it on its ear. Now's the time. Just watch. And finally, Frederick said, rock solid 8-8. The offense will have twice as many Pro Bowlers as the defense. Go Jaguars. Go Serena. Go Roger. Go hashtag bring the shirt to Germany.
Oh, he's in Germany.
You know what? We might do that there. I don't think we've had a German shirt giveaway yet.
I don't think so.
You might get one there.
It's like a record number of responses
today. That was a lot of responses today. People are fired. They're ready to kick it off, man, you know? Yeah. And tomorrow, Tony and I will focus more on Carolina. What they need to do to beat Carolina. Let's give you that opportunity now, Ryan. Start with offense. Offensively, do they need to establish the run? Now, to me, I want to establish Blake Bortles in this football game.
That's my number one key is the Jaguars would be stupid not to expect Carolina to throw some pressure at them because Carolina looks at them and says, gave up 70 sacks last year.
Right,
let's
we're challenge. Coming.
We're going to send guys. So how they block up the protection, some surprises that Carolina will have in store, and then just getting Bortles in a regular pick him up where he left off 2 weeks ago.
How much of a workload, like how do you envision the running backs? Is it going to be yelled and starts, but whoever gets the hot hand will get more run, or do you see it being like a 60-40 and then between he and Denard and then Toby coming in a short yardage or what?
I would say I think there's going to be a lot of yelling, except for short yardage, bring Gerhard in. Denard, I'm sure they'll work him in, but the hot hand thing – probably whoever, if somebody does get it, they stick with them. We've never seen a hot hand here in the last couple of years.
Right. So, we saw a smidge of it for Denard for about a month last year.
So I think, and that's the other thing you want to see is TJ Yeldon. Can he do all facets of the game?
How do you plan to deal with Cam Newton if you're the Jaguars, if you're Bob Babich's defense?
I watched their Seattle playoff game the other night. Seattle didn't have a spy, but they're so fast they didn't need one. I think you probably play a lot of base, make sure you have that linebacker on the field to keep track of them. My thing is, okay, who's going to cover Olsen? And also, my biggest concern for this Jaguar defense is when the starters were on the field last month, gave up explosive runs. And the Carolina runs it.
They're going to try to, certainly. I mean, Jonathan Stewart played very well. Jonathan Stewart's always had a lot of talent. He's never been able to stay healthy for an extended period of time. Played very well the second half of last season.
Look, I know it's something that you and I are going to talk about a lot tomorrow. Looking at the offensive weapons this Carolina team has, you can't let them run the ball. They cannot be able to run the ball on Sunday. If they can run when they want to, then that opens the possibilities for you to lose this football game. They don't have enough weapons on the outside that you need to be scared of anybody except Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton coming out of the backfield. Those are the two scariest things for me going into this Carolina matchup. I think you should be able to limit how much a tight end can hurt you. And Greg Olsen scheming a little bit on defense, but if you let them establish a run game, you're opening yourself up for a world of hurt, potentially.
Yeah, I think it's what Ryan said, though. They're going to put Olsen in 8-10 different spots on the field. So it's not, you're not just scheming to stop a tight end. You're scheming to stop an H-back on some plays. Your scheme stopped him split out wide in the slot all over the place. I think he'll get his share.
I do too.
But as long as, you know, look, he can catch you underneath stuff. If he has 8 catches for 80 yards, that's fine. Yeah. You know, that's not going to blow the cover off the defense. What I am concerned with is, obviously, you want to get him into obvious passing situations, right? And stopping that run is a big part of that. But then when you do, contain that guy, okay? You don't get those ends coming upfield where Canvas steps inside and goes, boop, see you later, 30 yards, easy.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons they're giving Chris Clemens a start is they feel they have an advantage against Michael Orr, their left tackle, who was terrible for Tennessee last year. So maybe they're trying to steal a couple things that way. If you can get there with a four-man rush against this line, which is either not very good or banged up, that means you don't have to send extra guys, which leaves open zones for Newton.
What's coming up for you, Florida Times Union coverage, as we lead up to kickoff?
We got a lot of stuff coming. We got in Sunday's main Jaguar story is talk to Greg Olson, Nate Hackett, Blake Bortles about their relationship, how that's developed since they started here in March. And they give him a checklist of 19 things he has to think about once he breaks the huddle before the snap. So we're going to go through that list. Be some inside football, and then we'll have some other stuff.
That sounds extremely interesting to me. You know, 19
things
checklist,
and then 16 after the snap. So
how about that?
Yeah. All right. Looking forward to writing that.
That's 37 things, Tony. So that's one thing. I just add those numbers together.
It's 35.
But is it 30? What?
19 and 16, correct?
Did he say 16?
35. Yeah, something like that.
Did he say 16?
He did.
I just got sacked trying to add those numbers together. Forget it. I'm done. I've had an off day.
19
today.
And 14, excuse me, 33.
Oh, 33. See, which is not what I said either.
No.
There you go, everybody. Yes. Coming up today, you know, fantasy football is really based on numbers, so you can definitely trust me, right? Based on that last response, it's the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast coming up at 2 o'clock. Mark Lamping is going to join XL Primetime coming up, I believe, at 1:30 this afternoon. Tyler, correct me if that's wrong. 1:20.
1:20.
This afternoon. They'll have Mark Lamping, Jacksonville Jaguar president, joining them on the broadcast. So definitely listen in for that. You would have anyway, but gives you more incentive to stay locked into 1010XL. And then Tony and I will be back with the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast coming up at 2 o'clock. Great response today. I know Jaguar fans are very excited about what's about to happen, kicking off this season. A lot builds up, and enjoy the next 3 days. And, man, like you said, can you imagine what it'll be like just having a 1-0 team for the first time? I think Hicken and Prosper are talking about maybe 2010 since they've had a winning record.
Luke McCown.
At any point. Won the opener, and that was...
He beat Tennessee and then threw... two of the worst interceptions I've ever seen an NFL quarterback throw against the Jets.
Yeah,
that's when Gabbert came in.
And that was the end of the McCown era here in Jacksonville, when we were told, hey, he'll be just fine. All we need is a caretaker at quarterback. Oh, what a lovely era it was. That does it for us today. Thanks to all of our listeners out there. Thanks to Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, for joining us today. For Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. The veto seat, that's where you're sitting today, by the way.
It's, don't end up on a high.
All right, there he goes. For Tony Smith, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off here for Jaguars Today. XL Primetime is coming up next right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And that's right, we're just a couple hours away from digging deep onto the fantasy football scene. But, folks, you don't have to wait. FanDuel's been open for business now since the beginning of August. They set their prices. You can take advantage. You can play and win money this opening weekend of football season. And you can do it at FanDuel.com. It's so easy to do. You go to FanDuel.com. You're going to see a little microphone icon in the upper right-hand corner. You click that, and you type in my name, Mike, M-I-K-E. And your first deposit on FanDuel, they'll match it up to $200. That money will get released. Least the more you play, the more comes back into your account. You can go head to head with Tony and I, and Ryan O'Halloran for that matter, at FanDuel.com/Mike. We have a $5 league. Top prize is $200. Well over 100 people already signed up. What are you waiting for? Get on board. Salary cap format, that means you can pick anybody. You can change your lineup next week. You don't even have to play next week. You can play this week. You can play 10 teams. You can do whatever you like. It's a lot of variety. It's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of money to be won. At FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! That's great job!